One verse of Scripture, verse 27. Verse 27 tonight. I don't know when that I have ever looked at the verses that surrounded this text and just thought about it in the way that God has dealt in my heart the last couple of days. The Bible said in verse 26, the text is 27, that be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And then the Word of God said this, neither give place to the devil. Now I'm going to ask you a question tonight. It's a personal question. You don't have to raise your hand. But how many knows that there's been a time in your life, and I'm going to say it like this, since you've been born again, that you gave place to the devil somewhere in your life? Maybe it was in something that was said. Maybe it was in something that we looked at. Maybe it was in something we listened to. Maybe it was in an attitude. The Word of God said, neither give place to the devil. And I believe with all of my heart that as we head in towards Christmas and New Year, families are going to be gathering. The calendars are filling up. There's something to do at church. There's something to do at work. There's something to do at school. And if we're not careful, I believe that we as God's people can lose that battle sometimes and give place to the devil. Now we know the world's going to do that. We know the world is not even much going to think about Jesus through the Christmas season and through the holiday season. They didn't think about Him in Thanksgiving. Some people, all they're going to think about from now through Christmas is a gift or a party or something going on in this world. There's several things I want us to consider tonight that I think will help us, if we can get them in the back of our mind and get them in our heart, will help us to determine in our heart and in our life not to give place to the devil. By the way, I want to say this tonight. I don't believe the devil can take a place. We have to give it to him. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. The prince and the power of the air, he can't take a place, but we can sure give it to him. And if you say, Pastor, how do you know that? Why would Paul warn God's people? He's not preaching to the bar room. He's preaching to the church at Ephesus. And why would he warn them if it wasn't possible to give place to the devil? I want to pray, and then I'll give you some things that I think would help us as we consider them. And then also, I want to show you in the end of the message or the lesson tonight what's at stake when God's people give place to the devil. Our Father, tonight, I know what you've conveyed in my heart and the study of your word. And I pray, dear Father, tonight that it would be voiced in such a way, Lord, that the Spirit of God would help us tonight, each one of us tonight, just to determine by the grace of God to be so full of the Spirit of God that there wouldn't be any place for old Slewfoot to get a foothold in our life. And Lord, I pray that we could just tonight determined by the grace of God, listen to the man of God, the Apostle Paul. And Lord, that he would help us tonight in this Christmas season, that Christ would be first and foremost and have the preeminence in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. How many believes that when you get tired, you get weary? That's an easy place for the old Slewfoot to slip in there. Amen. How many believes that tonight? You've heard me say that even on Sunday that we can get so busy that we run past the blessing, that we don't slow down enough to let God show us that blessing that He wants to show us. I want to give you some things to consider tonight when you think about this thought of giving place to the devil. First of all, in verse number 1, I want you to consider our calling. The Word of God said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. How many believes when God saved us, He called us to be saints? Amen. I like what Brother Mitchell said. He said it over and over. He said, we're not going to be perfect, but he said, we ought to strive for it. And I think that's a good way to live. Amen. We know that, I said we're not going to be perfect down here. We are going to be perfect. We're predestinated to become conformed to the image of God's Son. So when we consider our calling, he said, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I'll come back to that later in the message. But we need to consider our calling. I believe the Lord Jesus, it ought to be special tonight for us through the Christmas season just to realize we're one of His. We've not just met the babe in the manger. We believe He lived a sinless life. We believe He died on an old rugged cross. And we believe, beloved, the third day He rose again according to the Scripture. And we believe, thank God, He's coming back. I'd hate for Him to come back and find me in my life giving place to the devil. And so we need to consider our calling. The second thing I want to look at here, the Bible said there's one body, one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And I appreciate that tonight as we consider our calling. And then we ought to consider, I put down the word compassion. If you look down to verse number 15 with me, please, for just a moment. The Word of God, well, let me read verse number 14 as well, that you henceforth, we henceforth, be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But the Word of God said in verse 15, I'm looking at the word compassion, but speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. I was talking to my son the other day, and I'm not going to say who, but someone had called him, and someone had said, I want to come over and talk to you. And my son said this, said, you're welcome to come and talk to me, but I want you to know before you come, I won't be pulling any punches. In other words, he was going to be speaking the truth, and prayerfully, in love. Amen. Every one of us need that at times. Say amen. That's why the Word of God said over there for the pastor to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. I can't tell you the times that I've been reading this Bible that we have in our lap tonight, and God has knocked me out of my chair, down on my knees. So I had to get something right with my Heavenly Father before I could come to the pulpit. And I'll say it again tonight, I wouldn't give you a nickel for somebody that's preaching something that they won't eat themselves. Trying to feed the sheep was something that the shepherd is unwilling to eat. So compassion, it's important if we're not going to give place to the devil that we speak the truth in love. The Bible said, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We have a few young people with us tonight, and some young couples and college young'uns that's not been married yet. And the next thing, I think it's so important. Listen to me. There was a time in my life when I would have found it very difficult to go to a company party and not partake in what was going on at the company party. But that time in my life is history. If I knew the wrong things were going on at the company party, I wouldn't even go to the party.
That's just me. You say, Pastor, why not? Because I've had problems in my past with things that go on at the party. So why would I make provision? Say amen. By the way, if we're working for a company, the company ought to know us well enough to know that we wouldn't even get invited to that party. They'd just soon we stay away from that party. There was a man, and I don't care to tell you his name, Brother Jimmy Nichols. I love him. We worked together for years in the prison ministry. And Brother Jimmy was up here at Bristol Compressors. That was the name of the company. And they came in one day, and Brother Jimmy had a rule in his heart, in his life. He was a preacher. He told me the first church he pastored was the First Baptist Church of Bristol Compressors. People brought their burdens to him. They got in a break room and would open the Word of God, and they'd have prayer meetings in the break room. And the next word I'm looking at is the word company, but not in the context that I'm using it right now. The company we keep is what we need to watch, amen, as far as giving place to the devil. They came in one day and they said, Jimmy, we're going to have to start working on Sunday. And Jimmy said, well, you might have to start working on Sunday. Jimmy said, but I won't be working on Sunday. They said, well, then, Jimmy, you won't have a job. He said, well, then, Jimmy, just won't have a job. He got saved, and he fell so in love with Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, beloved, listen, he was able to win soul after soul after soul after soul because they knew that man had a backbone, that he was real. And, beloved, he'd rather go to the house than compromise the convictions. You say, Pastor, are you preaching against working on Sunday? No, I'm telling you about a man. Amen. Are you listening to me? A man that had such convictions about being in the house of God on Sunday that he wasn't going to do it. And they knew it was going to be a problem, but they didn't know how God was going to work it out. Well, God didn't work it out. They made the rule. They made the guidelines. You have to. No ifs, ands, or buts. And so he was gone. But even after he was gone, God used that influence. You say, Preacher, what did God do in Jimmy's life? I'll tell you what he done. He put him full time in the ministry. He's never looked back. God's blessed him. God's blessed his family. Brother Ralph, I think you told me about the press, about people that would get together and sing and get together and pray and get together and read the Word of God. I'm telling you what, if you live for God, beloved, you won't have to drop the bad company. The bad company will drop you. I'm looking back here at Brother Larry thinking about Brother Bob Steele. Somewhere or another, one morning, he was happy in the Lord and his mic got cued. And he was off somewhere and the button on his mic was pushed in. And he was shouting and praising God and preaching in that police cruiser. And somebody finally had to run him down and say, would you get off the radio? He preached to him a long time and praised God. I'm reminded of a time when my son, I didn't know he was there, but he came up on the building where I was working there above the house. And he said, Dad, I wouldn't dare come in. I was just having me a time, that's all. Don't you ever have your time in the Lord? The Bible said here, look in verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding, the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, the Word of God said, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh. If I could say something to the young people tonight, if you just keep yourself out of those situations, you won't have to worry about giving into that temptation. Somebody said a while back, I can't remember who it was. I would tell you if I could remember. But they said this, said their daddy told them, ain't nothing good going on after 11 o'clock. Well, I wish somebody had told my daddy that, because he believed there wasn't nothing good going on after 9 o'clock. I guess times have changed, amen. I've had this said to me before. Listen to me. Pastor, don't you trust your youngins? Everybody look at me, listen to me. I trust my youngins. I don't trust their flesh. And just to let you in on a little secret, I don't trust mine either. So I try not to let mine get in any situation. Say amen. Don't let it get in a situation where it could get the upper hand. The company neither give place to the devil. Look at verse 22. We ought to consider, I've said so far, our calling. Consider His compassion that's in our life. Consider the company we keep. Look at verse 22. The Word of God said here that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. It looks to me like, Brother Les, you and I had a conversation the other day, I guess yesterday, about desire. You told me, you said the desire's gone. But that's not an automatic. You've got to put off an old man and put on the new man. That's what Brother Joe used to sing about, ain't it? Amen. The two coats. Amen. And the Word of God is talking about our conversation. Now, our conversation would include what we say. We'll see that a little bit later on. But it's talking about our behavior, our manner of life. I'll never forget this. I don't know if it was original with Brother Sykes or not, but Brother Danny Sykes said something. It's been years ago, and I'll never forget it. He said, if we believe right, we'll behave right. And I believe that's right. I believe when there's a problem in the behavior, there's a problem in the belief system. Because if we really believe that God chastens those whom He loves, that would help us, wouldn't it? Amen. The Word of God said that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12 just a moment. No, maybe, let me go look. I'll know when I get there. I think it is, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I believe. I beseech you therefore, brethren. Is that right? I'm not there yet. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. See, one of the greatest things we can learn in the Christian life is to go on the offense. Don't keep trying to play defense against the devil and his cohort. Say amen. The Bible said right here, it said, I beseech you therefore. Paul said, I'm begging you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I like to never got those words in the right order. And Brother Don, I used the word gap. And that got me, G-A-P, good, acceptable, perfect will of God. By the way, it's not good or acceptable. It's good and acceptable. It's not good or perfect. It's good and perfect. The Word of God said, don't give place, neither give place to the devil. Need to consider our conversation. He said, wherefore put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. I listened to a man preach a little while back, and I love to listen to him preach. His name is Adrian Rogers. Anybody ever heard Brother Adrian preach? Brother Don, I don't know how you feel about it, but one of the greatest orators I've ever heard in my lifetime. I mean, the man, I'm telling you, that, and it doesn't even look like he's looking at notes when he's preaching. I don't know if he's got such a photographic memory that he don't need them. I don't know. I mean, he's walking the platform back and forth when he preaches. I've got a photographic memory, but it's out of film. Yours too, Brother Gary. I can tell by the way he chuckled. Amen. It's out of film. But where was I? Oh, put away lying. He made a statement about lying that I've never heard before. He said, you can tell the truth, and he said, you can lie just by the tone of your voice. And I thought, this is going to be good. I want to hear this. How do you lie? By the tone of your voice. And he talked about a time when he was in Bible college. He was driving, I believe he said, 3 hours to a church, to pastor a little church while he was in Bible college. And they were paying him $25 a week. He said, what they don't know, Brother Houston, is I would have given him $25 a week just to let me come preach. He just wanted to preach so bad. Amen. And he said he knew he had a headlight out. And he said a police officer pulled him over. And listen to what I'm talking about now. He said, police officer said to him, son, did you know you've got a headlight out? He said to the police officer, I've got a headlight out? That's the truth. I've got a headlight out. But the tone, it was like he didn't know he had a headlight out. He said, son, you need to get that fixed. He said, I got back in the car and everything was good until the Holy Ghost said, Adrian, you lied. I like that, don't you? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. You lied. You lied. And so the manner of life, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we're members one of another. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, that the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. I'm not sure why. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16 for just a moment. I made a note, and I'm not sure why. I can't remember why right now. Chapter 16, verse 13 and 14. Oh, I know why now. It was when I was talking about compassion. The Bible said in chapter 16 and verse 13 and 14, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. And then in verse 14 it said, let all your things be done with charity. That's why that note was there. It goes with compassion. God wants us to let all of our things be done with charity. So even don't steal, but work, labor, not just to feed your own family, but that you would have to give to somebody else that needs. That's what the Word of God's teaching here. Amen. Somebody said the tithe is the Lord's. How many believes it is? Let me give you something stronger than that. It'll help you. It's all His. I heard a preacher say one time, they tithed under the law. He said, I sure ain't going to let them beat me under grace. Amen. I thought that's pretty good. Jesus told the Pharisees it was a witness. The tithe was a witness that God liveth, that He's on the throne. Amen. My dad, he told everybody, God blessed him. I'm telling you, God blessed my daddy. He told everybody, he said, I found out early on that God could get more done with 90% in our family than I could with 100% in our family. And that's a blessing. That's a blessing to learn. The Bible said over there in the book of Malachi, will a man rob God? I don't know how many of God's tithes have went to the beach and never made it back. Went to Gatlinburg, never made it back. Amen. Went to a ball field somewhere, never made it back. I'm just telling you tonight, if we want God's blessings, we don't need to give place to the devil in our finances, in our family, in our heart, in the house of God, in our home. We don't need to give place to the devil. He said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying or building up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now, I want to give you two things quickly, and we'll be finished. I don't think it'll take long at all. I looked up just now, and I shouldn't have looked up. Brother Don just smiled from ear. Sister Linda, would you please hit him with something, anything that you can reach? Amen. I'm thinking about his little joke Sunday night. What, I was an optimist. Is that how it goes, brother? Okay. Okay. You'll get that after a while. Amen. I didn't say finally, brethren. By the way, I think Paul wrote a whole two chapters after he said, finally, brethren. Amen. Let me give you this tonight. What's at stake if we give place to devil? What's at stake? Look at chapter 3, verse 21. The Bible said unto him, that him is the Lord Jesus, the Lord God, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I believe the glory of the Savior is at stake. I want to ask you a personal question. I will ask for a show of hands right here. How many's ever been around a church setting where someone gave place to the devil? How many's ever been around a church setting like that? Brother Larry's grinning from ear to ear now. That's that old pastor coming out in him. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. Where does God's glory go when that happens? Goes out, don't it? The glory of the Savior. And matter of fact, it can happen, and I've seen it happen, where Ichabod is written over the door. The glory of God is departed. And Brother Larry, I've been in places, I don't believe it's going to matter who the pastor is. It ain't coming back. We cannot afford to take lightly the glory of our Savior. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. What's at stake on giving place to the devil? I know this. The Apostle Paul, when he stood to preach after that he had the revelation, God, I believe, let him see into the third heaven. It may have happened when they stoned him and left him outside the city for dead. We don't know for sure. But he saw things that were not lawful to be uttered. And I personally believe every time that Paul stood up, God didn't want him to tell it because they would have made a god out of him. And I believe every time Paul stood up, the messenger of Satan was gouging him. Tell it. Tell it. Because Satan does not want Jesus worshipped. He wouldn't care if some man was worshipped or some angel was worshipped. He just don't want Jesus worshipped. You say, Pastor, why did you tell that about the Apostle Paul? I don't know anything about that, Brother Preston. I don't know about seeing something that God wouldn't let me tell. But I do know something about this. Everybody listen to me right here. I do know that I have flesh. And I do know there's times when I've gotten the pulpit, Brother Wayne, I had to fight it back with everything in me. How many knows what I'm talking about? Have you ever dealt with a family member or dealt with a boss or dealt with anybody? Amen. And you just had to put it down and push it back with everything that was in you. You say, Pastor, did you always get it done? No, there's been a time or two I've had to stand publicly. After you do that a couple of times, you ever had to do that, Brother Don? You get better at it, don't you, brother? You get better at leaving that flesh, where that flesh belongs, back yonder. The glory of the Savior is at stake. The second thing I want to show you that the Lord spoke to my heart about, I know it's unusual for Christmas, but I don't know who the preacher was. It might have been you, Brother Larry, but somebody's preaching in a big way in this pulpit, and they said, oh, I know. Said, you come in on the parking lot fighting like cats and dogs, and said, you get out of the car. Was it him, sister? She's just pointing at him, amen. Said, you get out of the car, and you grin like a Cheshire cat from ear to ear. You walk in the house of God and say, praise the Lord. Knowing the Spirit of God's grieved. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you're a pastor or a preacher and you've ever tried to mount this pulpit and things wasn't right between you and your wife, it's ringing a bell, ain't it, Brother Larry? It's a miserable place to be in. Miserable. Miserable. The Bible talked about that our prayers be not hindered. Look at verse number 30. Neither give place to the devil. Remember, that's what at this time of year especially, we're going to get busy. I can remember, listen to me carefully, I can remember Brother Brian and I talking years ago about Bible school. And we sat down and we talked, and I said, Brother Brian, if we do this, I said, you know you're going to have a bunch of people by the end of the week. How many knows what I mean when I say slap wore out? I mean, many of them are working, and they're running in here and getting them a bite to eat, taking care of their class, helping clean the church up, then going home and laying down and sleeping for 6 or 7 hours and getting up and going to work. And you do that 5 days in a row, there's going to be some tired people on the premises. And I'm going to tell you something right now, old Slewfoot wants to get right in the middle of it. Whether it's Bible school time or Christmas time, he wants to get right in the middle of it any way that he can. The Bible said not only what's at stake is the glory of the Savior, but also the grieving of the Spirit. Look in verse number 30. The Bible said, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. I heard this a little while back. When self is on the throne, the Savior's on the cross. When the Savior's on the throne, self is on the cross. Think about that. It can't be both ways, can it? When self is on the throne of a man's heart, the Savior's on the cross. But when the Savior's on the throne of a man's heart, what did the Bible say? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. That's what the Word of God said. I believe that's what Paul was talking about. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, by the grace of God, don't give place to the devil, because it grieves the Holy Spirit of the living God. I've never noticed this before, and it's a study all in and of itself, but in verse number 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. There's a progression right there that I've never seen before. It starts with a bitterness, something down on the inside. Most of the time, listen to me carefully, the mouth is like a volcano. Most of the time when the volcano erupts, there has been something going down on the inside for a long time. Just something caused it to erupt. Watch this now. Let all bitterness, it started with bitterness, then wrath, then anger, and then clamor, then evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. I don't know about you tonight, but you know who will suffer the most usually at the expense of the tongue? The people we love the most. Am I right or am I wrong? The Word of God said, let that be put away. And look at verse 32. And be a kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Tonight, when I read that verse of Scripture, I didn't plan on saying this, but Stephen came to my mind. They're stoning Stephen to death. Rocks are hitting him. I reckon all over. I don't know if they want you to die slowly like in crucifixion, but people just picking up rocks and they're stoning him to death. I can think of better ways to die. I'd much rather be shot than I would to be stoned to death. What is he in the middle of all that? He's kind. He's tenderhearted. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Oh, Lord, just give me something right there that's good. That's the guy that's going to get to see Jesus. Whether we're dying or living, Brother Gary. He said, I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. Can I encourage us to slow down, smell the roses, make sure Jesus is on the throne. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You ever heard anybody say something like this? I just can't forgive them. What if he had said that to us? What if he had said that to us? The only reason I know that a person couldn't forgive would be bitterness and wrath and anger. God said that's going to have to be put away. Neither give place to the devil. I don't know why God put this in my heart, but I know this. He put it in my heart. And we need to just go on into the Christmas season and be careful. Be Christ-like. And ask the Lord to help us. Amen. I'm hoping and praying that somebody, somewhere, in these next few weeks, we'll see Jesus in the lives of the people that are here at Bible Way. Amen. Pastor, his wife, his family. God willing, pray for us Friday. We'll be traveling to North Carolina. Olivia and Sawyer are having a Christmas program in their Christian school. And Olivia told her mommy, said, Mommy, I've invited people, but everybody's busy. Nobody can come. Well, at first, we weren't going to go. How many knows what happened? Yeah, she don't know we're coming, Brother Wayne. I can't wait to see the look on that baby's face. It'll be an early Christmas, won't it? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for your precious people, every one of them. And I pray, dear Father, tonight that you'll help us, especially we that know you in the free pardon of sin. Help us, our Lord, to reflect the grace and the glory of God in the church. Help us, we pray, that we might, Lord, be used in a mighty way, for your honor, for your glory. Be a blessing to others along life's way. In Jesus' name, amen.